the thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's been a couple of weeks. We took last weekend off as the Cardinals took a visit down to New Orleans and unfortunately ended their season there, but
unfortunately,
you know, after hauling around the Consumer Electronics Show for 3 days, that was a nice little respite here. But welcome, if you are a new listener to the Computer Corner, we come on every Saturday afternoon and talk about technology, not just computers. In fact, we've been contemplating a change of name since we really talk about technology and the term computer is kind of getting a little
blurry. Yeah, really, what percentage of our show are we talking?
But what's a computer?
About computer? It really runs the gamut.
Is this iPhone a computer?
Technically.
I don't know. Anyway, so it's the tech corner.
Technology corner, yeah.
Now, we got to come up with a better name. Maybe we'll have a contest. More contests. Anyway, we are here for the next couple of hours. We're going to be talking technology. We're going to bring you some news items, some different things that are going on out there. Today specifically, though, we want to focus in on our statewide biannual or quarterly or however many.
I think it's quarterly now because the last one was back in October, I believe.
I don't know. We'll just say it's time to get that technology that's sitting in your garage, that's sitting in your closet, to the proper facilities. Do not ever throw this stuff away. And today is our statewide technology recycle drive along associated with the Arizona Technology Council and West Tech Recyclers. We do this periodically. We generally try to have a recycle drive sometime in January, primarily because lots of you out there during the holiday season got new technology. The average household has 24 electronic gadgets.
24.
Wow. 24. That's the average household. That changes, obviously, because there's new versions and technology changes so quickly. Everyone out there listening has something squirreled away in a drawer, in a closet, an old cell phone, an old whatever. Clock radios, whatever it is, VCRs.
Reel to reel.
What are you going to do with that? You're going to throw it away? No, you can't throw that stuff away. It has toxic materials in it, and that those toxic materials thrown into the landfill will cause all kinds of crazy things to happen.
It's like throwing your oil away, right?
It's worse because the half-life of this hazardous waste is just some ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's forever. So you've been looking for a reason to finally get that stuff out of your life. You business owners that have that stuff squirreled away in your closets, get it out there. We've got donation facilities, places where you can drop off your recyclables all over the state, up into Flagstaff at the Data Doctor's location in Flagstaff, down Tucson. Whole list of participants from the Arizona Technology Council as well that you can get the list if you go to aztechrecycle.org or, of course, just join us at datadoctors.com/radio and all of what we talk about today and all the links are right there for you, including the link right to the technology recycle, the AZ Tech Recycle website, which lists out all of the materials that are recyclable, the stuff that you can bring down to any of the locations, and all the locations. Most of the locations are participating in this until about 3 o'clock. So you have till about 3 o'clock at most of the locations. Any of the Data Doctors locations that are open a little later will gladly accept those as well. But make it a point. Take this as your, okay, I've been waiting for this time. We get these emails all the time. Oh, it's great. You're having another recycling drive. And it's last time I believe we collected 33,000 pounds.
Wow.
It was insane.
Like 13 tons or something like that. Now, all of you that have those old cell phones, that that kind of stuff too. I mean, you know, you've got them in the drawers. Go drop them off along with those old VCRs and all that old stuff. Now, later on in the show, we're going to give you some really gut-wrenching statistics about how bad this e-waste problem is. And really, it's really easy if we all stay focused on not allowing this stuff to get into the landfills. We can really limit the exposure that the environment is going to suffer from this voracious appetite we have for technology. I mean, we're constantly replacing technology, computer monitors, computers themselves, printers, scanners, I mean, all that stuff, digital cameras, cell phones. That stuff's got to stay out of the landfills, and we're imploring you to participate this week. By the way, if you are a newsletter subscriber, you got last night's newsletter. Man, more caffeine, huh? last night's newsletter. Why say that three times fast? Included in there is our poll of the week. We want to know from all you out there that either subscribe to our newsletter, listen to our radio show, watch our CNN segments, what have you. Have you ever been infected by one of those fake security programs? We're trying to get a read on what our fan base or what our you know, the folks that are out there that are engaging with us. Where are you at on this thing? Right now, we're at about 54% that say no, and 46% that have said yes, it was pretty easy, or yes, it was a nightmare to get rid of. So it's about half and half, and that, you know, unfortunately, that is the most common thing we see in our stores, right, Robert?
That's the biggest.
How often do you see that?
Daily.
Every day. How many times a day?
Oh, geez.
Pretty much every day. And folks, there's a big misnomer out there that if I have security software, if I have antivirus software, if I have all that stuff, then I should be okay.
Nope.
It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with if they can trick you into thinking that a website is legitimate, a link is legitimate. We talked about it a couple of months ago. We talked about the SEO poisoning, where the bad guys can actually infiltrate the Google search results. Not just Google, but Yahoo and Bing and everybody else. What they do is they wait for these fast-breaking news stories. So, for instance, when the Haiti earthquake was first rolling out there and the news was rolling out, they were quickly putting up fake sites that looked like, you know, help the
donation
people.
Donation sites.
And so when you clicked on them, even though you got them from your Google results, when you clicked on them, instead of going to the website, something would pop up and say, hey, your computer's infected. You know, you should get this taken care of. And, you know, of course, it catches you off guard, and a lot of people fall for that. And that's how it's happening. So it doesn't really matter what you have for antivirus software. If you click on these links, you're going to be presented with the opportunity to infect yourself. And unfortunately, lots of you are falling for this. And so one of the things you can do is one of the links in the newsletter is a little segment I did with the lovely and talented Terry Hitchcock at Good Morning Arizona.
Correct.
About the Web of Trust, the free download that allows you to get a reading on, is this particular link safe or not? So you can check that out on the newsletter. If you're not a newsletter subscriber, fear not, or if you're having problems because of filtering and what have you, datadoctors.com/help, you'll see the newsletter archive. So, all right, we're going to come back here and start taking some phone calls and start beating you over the head with this recycle, recycle, recycle message, but it is the Data Doctors. We'll be back right after this. In 2007, the United States generated a total of 3 million tons of electronic waste. Unfortunately, less than 14% of it was actually recycled. The rest of it was thrown in landfills. 2.6 million tons ended up in the landfills in 2007.
Well, and a lot of that stuff ends up in landfills overseas, too.
Well, no, that's a different deal altogether. That's the exportation of this stuff.
Which is illegal.
Yeah, we're just talking about stuff that ended up in landfills and incinerators. People just throw it out. Oh, maybe this. Oh, no, I'll put it in the blue recycle bin.
Yeah. Putting a CRT monitor in the blue recycle bin is a definite no-no.
This stuff is not regular trash.
Anything with a circuit board, clock radios, remote controls, any of that stuff. There's all kinds of carcinogens and hazardous material in that. And if you think, well, remote control, it's a little thing, what a big deal. Well, you know what?
Times that by like a million.
Yeah, or 10 million or 100 million, right? And that is the problem, is that this number, we don't have any up-to-date numbers on the recycling efforts, but I know that there's been a lot more push to try to educate people that you can't do that with this stuff. And I think we're making some inroads. But there's still way too many people out there that don't realize how bad of a problem this is. And that's really what we continue to have these events for, and give you a very easy way. Again, ArizonaTechRecycle.org or datadoctors.com/radio. You can see all the links and things that we're talking about today. By the way, identity theft is a big issue for people that want to recycle old computers.
Absolutely.
What are we doing at our Tempe labs to help folks out with this?
Well, one of the things that we're doing to ensure that the data on those hard drives, and we get a lot of computers dropped off, is securely erased. And we have individuals on staff standing by to wipe those hard drives while those computers are being checked in.
But only in Tempe.
Only in Tempe.
So you need to go to our labs in Tempe. It's 2082 East University. If you have sensitive information on a hard drive, you want to donate, but you want to make sure that that hard drive is securely wiped. The only location in town that we can offer this, just that's the only place we're staffed to do it.
Correct.
And we have the military security erase systems.
DoD standard.
Right. Yeah. So we'll take care of that for you if you will take it specifically to the Tempe location, 2082 East University. Of course, you can get the location information on our website or the aztechrecycle.org website. But if you're out there and you're concerned, and that's one of the reasons why you've been hanging on to that computer, there's two problems with that. One is the longer you hold on to an old computer, the less likely it is that it can be reused. Part of what we do in conjunction with the Arizona Technology Council and West Tech is we try to repurpose any and all of this, including those old cell phones that you, I don't care about this. Mm-hmm. Some people would love to have just a regular cell phone. There's lots of charities. There's schools we work with that can use old computers. So don't assume that nobody can use this. It may be that some portion of the old computer you have and the some portion of two other donated computers allow us to create one working computer. That old laptop that you have that the screen is broken or the battery's dead or something like that. Again, you just don't know. That's why we want to get all this stuff into in a structured environment so that we can go through all of this, figure out what is useful for charities.
And recycling just doesn't mean, you know, ripping everything apart and taking all those raw materials and, you know, putting them in some kind of crusher. It really does mean repurposing. And there's so many devices out there, and just as Ken said, you know, holding on to it for, you know, years and years and years, that becomes much less useful.
Well, it's also more likely you're going to get ambivalent about it and throw it out.
Yeah. Right. Or even forget the data that may have been stored on there that, you know.
Exactly. You don't remember what it was. So, all right, let's see if we can bring Alice into the conversation. Alice, you're first up on the computer corner. Are you going to help us with recycling some of your old stuff?
Well, I'm not going to help you, but I'm going to congratulate you because I think it's a wonderful idea that we do recycle these items. So
absolutely.
Congratulations on making the effort to do that.
Well, thank you, and we'll keep doing this throughout
the
year.
But I do have a problem that I hope you can help me with.
Let's see if we can. Okay.
I've actually had my laptop in to one of your facilities twice, and I've got kind of another problem that I'm encountering that I just can't figure out, and that is we have FastQ as our internet provider.
Okay.
And when email is sent to FastQ, it also comes up on our MSN address, and FastQ has no idea why that's happening.
You're talking about duplicates?
Excuse me?
Are they duplicates?
They're duplicates.
Okay, so it's showing up in two different accounts?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be.
And are they addressed to the same account, but they show up in both?
Yes, they're right. No, they're addressed to our name, you know, our address for EA or whatever, at FastQ, and that same message appears.
Oh, well, you're just getting, I mean, this is how the spammers work. See, what happens is, have you ever heard of this thing called a botnet?
Botnet?
Yeah. It's a bunch of infected computers. So a lot of people out there that are listening right now are unknowingly part of what's called a botnet. Their machine's infected with this little hidden program, and it's actually using that computer to send out spam, okay? And so there's tens of thousands of these machines out there that basically every email address that's ever been used and scraped along is getting the same message. So I don't know that you necessarily have a particular issue. You can hear the music here, so I'm going to put you on hold for a sec here.
Okay.
Let me see if I do this right. Yeah, I did it right. And then I'm going to talk to Alice off the air because I need a little more detail. But, folks, if you're getting this kind of stuff and you think there's something you can do about it, I got bad news for you.
Yeah.
You don't get to control what people are going to send to you. So we'll try to dig in a little more with Alice and maybe come back with some information on that. When we come back, we're going to tell all of you Facebook users how to get your own vanity URL. Somebody asked that during this past week, and it's actually quite simple. If you want to make it much easier, we're going to tell you when we come back. It's the Computer Corner. Robert, Clayton, and Ken back after this. It would help if I actually press all of the buttons. Still getting used to the new studio. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are in the house for the next hour and a half. Remember, today is the day, all of you folks listening here in Arizona, it is your day to do your part to get that old technology recycled. DataDoctors.com/radio. You'll see all our links and resources, including the statewide drive that's going on, all the locations where you can drop off this toxic material. Those of you listening outside of Arizona, fear not. There are lots of recycling programs throughout the country. Make this radio show, even though you're not in Arizona, make this your wake-up call to go find a recycler, go find a recycling program, whether it's your state. Schools do that. There's all kinds of resources out there. Go find one if you're not in Arizona, and participate in our drive, even though you're not in the great state of Arizona, which, by the way, the rain has stopped, the top is down, and I'm very happy. Before we went to break, I told you that we'd give you a little information if you're a Facebook user, which most of you are now these days, the 300 million or something. We got a question from a fan or a listener or somebody asking, how did we get facebook.com/datadoctors? Now, this is a vanity URL system that was launched by Facebook in June, I believe it was.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, it was in June, I believe. And basically, the reason they did that is prior to that, if you wanted to have somebody go to your actual Facebook page, you'd have to say, I'm at facebook.com/12534-61. Hike. I mean, it's just this ridiculous
and nobody can remember that.
Yeah. So they created what they call these vanity URLs. So if you are a Facebook user, now unfortunately, because you didn't do this when they announced it in June,
you might be
if you have a common name, it's probably taken, just like with web addresses. But you can do, like, I've got ken.colburn, and there's a bunch of different ways you can do either your personal or your business URL. By the way, if you have a trademark name and somebody else took it on Facebook, you can petition Facebook to get that back if you own the trademark. So keep that in mind if you're a business owner. But basically, log into your Facebook account and just go to facebook.com/username.
So, Ken, how many users, or I should say, how many fans do you have to have in order to obtain that vanity URL?
None.
I believe that if you have a Facebook page, you have to hit 25 fans in order to transition
to that
URL.
Any individual for their individual page.
For their individual page.
Can petition as well. So, it's, you know, you can do it either way.
Okay.
So, all the information, including a FAQ on all these kinds of questions are actually part of this week's newsletter. It's our tip of the week, so hopefully you check that out. 602-277-5827, that's the phone number. If you have any kind of a question, you don't have to be calling about recycling, although we'd encourage you highly to participate in today's recycle event, datadoctors.com/radio, for all the information, including what is being accepted at all the different I think we've got 30 or 40 different drop-off centers throughout the state of Arizona, including you folks listening in Flagstaff, down Tucson.
Of course, it might be locations. A little difficult to get around in Flagstaff.
Nah. Just walk with it. All the Data Doctors locations throughout the state are participating, so check that out. Let's see here if we can help Doreen. Doreen, welcome to the Computer Corner. Are you going to recycle something today?
I hope so.
All right. What can we help you with?
Well, I'm trying to download Yahoo Messenger. My daughter said that we can talk for free rather than long distance through that.
You, when you say talk, you're talking about physically talk or like text each other?
I thought I understood her to say physically talk.
Okay.
And I downloaded, my computer is a dial-up, So I can't download from the internet. I go to work, download it on a flash drive, bring it home, plug it in.
Ew. Well, here's another issue that you're going to go through all this and get to the point, since you're on dial-up, where the voice transmissions, when you try to actually speak, probably not going to be real good. Maybe, you know, a lot of choppiness and that kind of thing, to where you're going, this is ridiculous, this isn't going to work.
It could be.
Most of the VoIP, that's the what they call voice over IP, voice over internet protocol, they refer to it as VoIP. Just about all the systems out there today have been optimized for what's called broadband or high-speed internet. So it's not that you won't be able to do it, but likely that you're not going to get great quality of audio even if you go through all this. Frankly, what I would recommend you do, if this is what you're trying to accomplish, is use Skype, which is really more tuned into that type of usage.
Absolutely.
That would work better than on dial-up than Yahoo Messenger?
Yeah, Skype has more optimization for the different speeds.
Oh.
See, the Yahoo Messenger was a messenger, and they're going, oh, let's just lop in voice message or voice calling. Skype's whole deal is about voice calling. So they're much more attuned to the fact that certain people are going to have slower connections and those kinds of things.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would if that's what you're trying to accomplish, I mean,
yeah.
If that's really what you're trying to do, then I would strongly recommend you look at Skype. And obviously, if you did ever step up into a high-speed internet connections, Skype automatically would make it easy for you to have the webcam video going at the same time you're talking.
Okay.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to look at the other person that you're talking to.
Yeah.
You know, it's my daughter's going to school in New York, and our aging Australian Shepherd was basically at a point where he had to be put down. And so the night before we took him in, we actually set up a Skype account, or, you know, set up a Skype session with my daughter in New York, put the laptop on the ground in front of the dog with the camera, you know, the camera pointing right at it. And literally they were able to, you know, the dog actually recognized that my daughter's voice and you know, the motion on the screen and what have you. It was pretty cool. So,
you make me cry.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, it's a way of using technology. Otherwise, you know, under normal circumstances, my daughter wouldn't have had a chance to, even though it was a virtual goodbye,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was a more meaningful way of, you know, seeing Jake before we had to put him down. So it's a fantastic service, and it's free if you're using internet on both sides.
All right. Wonderful.
So,
well, my problem was it says my firewall wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, your firewall is, are you using the Windows firewall, or what are you using?
Webroot.
Okay. Their internet security package?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what firewalls are, software firewalls are intended to do is to help you block from people from the outside coming in. But they're also designed to alert you or to block anything within your computer that's trying to reach out to the internet. Because a lot of the sneaky stuff that's out there, spyware, adware, viruses, they use your internet connection without you knowing. And so, you know, it's one of those things, with security comes less usability.
Yeah.
Right? And that, so the firewall's doing its job saying, I'm not really sure I want to allow this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have to go through the manual configuration to tell the firewall that particular program is okay. And once you do, then you'll be fine.
Wouldn't that be under the, where you do the, I went in there and there's a place where you can add things?
You can, but generally speaking, when you try to do something for the first time and the firewall says, hey, something's trying to dial out, shall I allow this to happen or not? That's generally the easiest way to manage this, and you say, oh, it's okay from now on, or always block this.
And Webroot actually has an intelligent firewall that gives you 7 days of use, and it studies your use, and then based on your use pattern, when the firewall is active again at full-blown activity, it remembers what you were doing during the training period. And I remember a toggle for that, too.
Yeah, well, it's several months old, and so we're past the training phase.
Well, no, but that's okay. You can still do that. The other thing is, one of the reasons why we like Webroot so much is they've got great, U.S.-based tech support. So if you run into the same situation with Skype, and mm-hmm. you have a current active subscription, you can call their tech support. They're very, very good. They're in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
In fact, I've gotten to see the inner sanctum.
That's
I went
right.
and visited up there a couple of weeks ago, and it was really pretty amazing. They're a spectacular group of folks.
Well, thank you very much.
You
I appreciate
bet.
Your help.
Good luck, and report back to us and let us know if our recommendation actually worked.
All right, I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doreen.
Bye.
It's funny you mentioned Skype, because I was watching the news yesterday, and they were broadcasting using Skype from Flagstaff because they weren't able to broadcast any other way. So the news, the reporter was in Flagstaff using Skype to brief them.
You're going to see more and more of not just Skype, but a bunch of different ways to transmit. I mean, for the longest time, for almost 3 years, I did my CNN segments through Skype.
Yeah.
And a webcam. So now we're going into production mode. But folks, it's amazing how many people have never actually used Skype. What else is cool about Skype is you can buy credits. So whenever I go to foreign countries, but I want to be able to make phone calls back to the U.S., I spend $10 with Skype, and I can bring up the Skype interface and call any landline in the United States, and it charges me by the minute, but it's a fraction of what international long distance is.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever spent the actual $10, even on like the 3 weeks that I spent in Italy years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had $6.40 left. For the $10 that I spent, of course, I wasn't on the phone all the time, but the people I was calling had no idea that I was on my laptop.
Yeah, and those international rates can just
kill you.
Yeah.
Or if you're calling Skype to Skype internationally, it's free. There's no – if you're calling another computer, if you're not getting off the internet onto what's called a POTS line, plain old telephone servers, then there's no charge. It's the same free connection.
And what about using Skype on your iPhone? Is the same
you can
apply for international calls?
How about Skype on an iPod Touch?
Oh,
right?
you can do that as well?
Well, they're working towards that because obviously the microphone
Wi-Fi.
Issue. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
But that's the kind of thing. If you have a Wi-Fi connection and you have a device that supports it, like an iPhone or a BlackBerry now, I guess, they have an application for as well. So you're actually using your cell phone, but you're not using the cell phone service. You're using the data side.
Right.
So if you have an unlimited data plan,
Bing.
But you want to make a call. This is getting confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we'll figure out what the heck we're talking about here and write down the list and post it for you or not. But a couple lines open, 602-277-5827.
Wow. Oh, word. You do
it's Tech Recycling Day. Join us, won't you? Back right after this. Thanks for joining us here on the Computer Corner. It's the Data Doctors, as we are every Saturday. Clayton, Robert, and Ken, the Data Doctors du jour.
That's
French for the day. Seize the day, because today's the day that you can take your electronic gadgets, your old recyclables, all that technology that's been sitting in the garage, sitting in your closet, sitting in those drawers, cell phones. How about this?
Stereos.
Answering machines. Yeah. See how many of the old stuff you can name. Answering machines?
Well, we also got
VCRs. Come on, play along with me.
No, microwaves.
Microwaves.
We saw...
Anything with a circuit board, but I mean, what's the really old stuff? How about floppy drives?
I saw a lot of tapes.
Tape drives.
Backup tape drives.
Yeah.
And also keep in mind that if you do bring in any tape media, we will also degauss that and make sure that all the data is erased off that.
We
as
can
well.
Make it dead.
We can make
we
it
can
dead.
Kill it.
There we go.
By the way, if you do have sensitive information on any computer hard drives and you want to make sure that they are securely erased, the only location that we can ensure that that occurs is our corporate headquarters in Tempe. Our lab facilities are there. That's where our data recovery and forensics lab is. That's where all of the secure erase equipment is. So if you do want to make sure that whatever you donate hard drive-wise is securely erased, 2082 East University is the location. Or you can call 480-921-2444 if you need more information, directions, that kind of thing. But that's the only location until what time is somebody going to be there?
I believe 5 o'clock, okay, and so we will even remove the drive from the computer.
So yeah, we'll take care of all that. You just need to let us know. I want to make sure that this drive gets securely erased.
Make sure, and it's not just hard drives; any type of digital storage media,
flash drives, anything else. So
exactly.
All right, let's see here. Do I have time? What time is it? 54:50. Let's try this question on recycling. It looks like Linda.
Yeah,
you're calling about with a recycling question.
Yes, I absolutely love what you're doing, but I would like to point out with the cell phones, if they could just take their old cell phones into a battered woman shelter or one of the local police departments, they recycle them and give them to battered women to use in an emergency situation.
That's great. We also work with the Arizona Technology Council, works with many charities as well. We try to repurpose as much, not just the cell phones, everything that gets donated. Kind of gets reviewed to see if any of it can be repurposed for any of the charities and shelters and things that we're working with as well. So, but that's great information.
That's good to know. Thank you so much. I feel better.
Thank you, Linda.
So I took in a donation, and the donation was an Intel 133 megahertz Pentium processor, 16 megabytes of RAM.
Yes.
The sticker was on it. It looked like it was brand new, like it traveled through time.
Yes. And I'm sure it did because now that's one that was that's a good example. They hung onto it for how long? And that has to be 10 years old, right?
The first Pentium microprocessor.
But well, that's actually pretty new compared to some of the stuff we've seen.
But they would have donated that very good-looking computer 10 years ago when they stopped using it or whenever it was. It could possibly have been used.
Repurposed.
Instead of now it's just completely useless. So that's the thing we want to make sure you folks understand is not only do we want to keep the stuff out of the landfills, just because it's not good enough for you anymore, fast enough for you anymore, just slightly broken, doesn't mean it can't be used by someone else.
Yeah.
But the longer you hang on to this stuff, and that's why we're doing this in January, you guys all just replaced a bunch of old computers and old stuff, old monitors, old flat panels, whatever. You went from a 4x3 to a widescreen, whatever. Before that stuff becomes unusable, get it into one of the recycling participating recycling centers. Again, aztechrecycle.org will show you the list of all the recyclable items as well as all the locations throughout the state. Most of the locations are going to be there till 3 o'clock. The data doctor's locations generally are open till 5.
One thing we've seen, too, quite a bit with a lot of people buying HD TVs is, you know, the old tube TVs that are coming in, and that's another huge item.
Yeah, that one's a little tougher there, and you got to be careful. But if you've got a really, really big TV that you want to donate, before you just assume you can haul it into a particular location, you might want to check because the really, really big stuff takes a lot of room. Yeah, they may not have room there. So we got another hour to go here. It's the Computer Corner, the Data Doctors. We're talking about recycling your old technology. Make this the impetus for you to get off your butt and get that stuff recycled today.
It's a beautiful day, too.
It is a beautiful day. There's no excuse not to do that. When we come back, we're going to talk about in-flight Wi-Fi. We've got our Geek Speak of the Week. We've got some password information. There was a breach of a server that exposed 32 million passwords, and from that came some very interesting research material that all of you would benefit from as well. So we're going to learn from others' pain once again here on the Computer Corner. 602-277-5827 or datadoctors.com/radio. Or if you're a Facebook fan, facebook.com/datadoctors. Back after this.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are in the house, as we are every Saturday afternoon. Ken, Robert, and Clayton are the Data Doctors du jour. We're talking about tech recycling, as today is one of the many tech recycling drives that we have throughout the state in conjunction with the Arizona Technology Council and West Tech Recyclers. The list of donation sites, as well as what is acceptable for recycling at all these locations, is very cleverly post it at datadoctors.com/radio. So there you'll see the first link of the accepted recyclables and the locations. But there's also a link to what you can do to make sure that you delete your data yourself before you donate an old or sell an old computer. Or if you're just not up to the task and don't want to deal with it, the Tempe location of Data Doctors here in Phoenix, in the Phoenix metro area, our corporate headquarters where our data recovery and forensics labs are, all of the equipment to securely erase those donations exists. Therefore, if that is something that's critically important to you, take it to the Tempe location. Now, give you a caveat. We do this these events as a way to raise awareness, but the last thing we want is a situation where somebody says, well, I had a donation, but I couldn't get there. Data Doctors, around the clock, the entire calendar year, anytime you have a donation, contact the local Data Doctors and just make sure, especially if it's a large amount of equipment, just contact them. Otherwise, just take it in and say, I'd like to donate this to the recycling program, and we'll make sure that West Tech and all the different agencies that we work with get that any time during the year. So if you can't get out there today, fear not. Data Doctors will continue to offer the ability for you to drop this off around the clock, around the calendar. Not around the clock, around the calendar. Also, I got an email from Raymond, who's listening from the city of Tempe, and he wanted to remind us that every Friday and Saturday, the city of Tempe has hazardous waste recycling. And they actually, he's with the household hazardous waste section. In other words, use this to get rid of your chemicals and motor oil and
car batteries.
Car batteries, that kind of stuff.
I got one sitting in my garage right now.
There
Me
you go.
Too.
Now, Tempe and Guadalupe residents only for that particular entity. It's tempe.gov/HHW. Raymond, thank you so much for chiming in on that. Just throw that into, I mean, as long as you're cleaning out the garage and you live in Tempe, or check with your local municipalities. Friday and Saturdays in Tempe, it may be different in Mesa and Phoenix and what have you. So. All right, with that, we got to go to our Geek Speak of the Week. We're still working on our music stuff, so I'm going to hold my iPhone up to the...
It works.
The power of technology. Record that,
Jim. Okay. So every week we try to bring you a little something, little vernacular in the tech world that may help you decipher some transmission that you get from somebody out there. And with this week's Geek Speak of the Week is Roberto.
IRL. IRL. So for those of you that text message and don't understand some of the things that come in, you shrug it off and say, I wish I knew what it was, but don't.
IRL. What's it mean?
IRL means in real life.
In real life. So give me an example of how somebody would use IRL.
I was in Hollywood, IRL.
Oh. Or, hey, baby, maybe we should meet IRL.
I'm still confused on this one.
In real life.
Okay. But when would it be used? I mean, in text messaging?
I think more or less what
online,
Ken was doing. Online,
Twitter, Facebook, any kind of online communication.
So if you're dating online.
Well, think about this for a second. How many people now only have relationships with people on the internet and they've never actually met IRL? At some point, they may say, hey, you know what? You live, or I'm going to be in your city. How about we get together IRL?
In real life. Yeah.
And so if you're new to the online world and you're really starting to be fascinated with social media and Facebook and Twitter, and you start to see this, you're going, what the heck's that mean? Now you know.
I got a friend that has a really good buddy that they've been gaming online for like 10 years, and they're finally going to meet IRL. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Well, for gaming folks, you know what AFK means, don't you?
No.
Away from keyboard.
Ah.
So, you know, if you play those group third-party shooters and there's a soldier that's just kind of standing there and he keeps getting killed, he's not moving. He's like right out in the middle of nowhere.
He's not saying,
what's wrong with Roger, Roger? He is AFK or I'm AFK or whatever. So check all that out. Hey, before we went to break, I had mentioned that we were going to give you a little information on in-flight Wi-Fi. That's my advice column that's in the various media outlets, including the Tribune here, East Valley Tribune, tomorrow's edition. You can now connect to the internet on a lot of different domestic flights that are three or four, two and a half to 3 hours or longer in distance on a lot of different airlines. Delta, I don't think JetBlue's doing it yet, but there's a whole list of them out there. I actually had the pleasure of testing this out on a Delta flight to, I don't know if it was to Atlanta or to New York or something. It was spectacular. I was surprised.
And this is a service you pay for?
It's $12.95. The flight that I paid for, it was $12.95 for the flight.
And that varies based on the amount of time?
No, I think it's $12.95 for, I've seen like $9.95 for slightly shorter flights. Mm-hmm. Understanding now, this is not something like as soon as you get on the airplane, you can start using it. The FCC apparently limits use of this system at 10,000 feet or higher. Okay. So in other words, you got to get to that. Obviously, you're not supposed to have your laptop out during takeoff and landing anyway, so no big deal.
Not supposed to anyway.
But a lot of people are thinking, good, next time I get stuck on the tarmac for 2 hours, right, I can use the in-flight Wi-Fi. It's like, no, it's not going to work. Doesn't work like that. What's cool about it, though, is it's the GoGo in-flight system, which is what Delta uses. It's a special cellular frequency, and so they communicate with towers on the ground. There's another service coming out, and I think Southwest is one of the big players that's going to use this. It's satellite-based. So international flights and those kinds of things, you're going to start seeing this more and more. So there's a couple things you need to understand. It's not like super high-speed internet like you'd get in your office. But I was surprised. It was not bad. I did some speed tests, and it was not bad.
Maybe like a 3G network with
It's certainly better than, you know, it's on par with a slower DSL circuit when I used it. There's a couple things that they're doing, though. We talked about Skype earlier.
Yeah.
They have absolutely made it a point to make sure that no VoIP systems are going to work on this. Oh. They do not want people yakking for 3 hours in their seat. As a courtesy to the passenger. So kudos to the airlines and what have you for doing that.
That could get pretty annoying.
Now, the flip side of this is my understanding is that most of them are choosing not to filter any of the content.
Oh, wow.
The person next to you could be looking at
who
questionable.
Knows? some interesting things that may come from that. But obviously, they have rules and regulations now that if somebody pulls out a lewd magazine or watches a DVD of questionable nature, they have a process and a procedure for dealing with that. So it'd really be no different if somebody's surfing.
Geez, if you can't get on a plane for 3 hours without viewing that kind of content, there's a little...
Well, here's the part that you may want to think twice about. If you've got a computer that you know is infected with spyware and adware, and you're about to take a flight, you know, some of that stuff just pops those pop-ups, right, on your machine, and it wasn't something you did.
Yeah.
So... You want to maybe have some filtering and what have you in place for that. So interesting, though, in-flight Wi-Fi, it's for real. It's wonderful. It's a great way to use that time sitting on the airplane. Yeah. You can read more about it in our advice column there. So time to take a break. It's the Computer Corner of the Data Doctors back right after this. It's Tech Recycling Day throughout the state of Arizona. If you... just now hearing this, you got time. 3 o'clock in all the locations all around the state, including Flagstaff and Tucson, all of the Data Doctors locations, as well as lots of members of the Arizona Technology Council are participating in today's event. You can get all the information you need about what's recyclable and what's donatable and where you can do this at datadoctors.com/radio. That's today's radio show page with all of the links to what we talked about. 602-277-5827 is the phone number if you have a question. The list of carcinogens in today's electronics is pretty scary. Arsenic, barium, beryllium, those flame retardants, people just think they're in clothing. They're in all kinds of electronics. BFRs, they're a bad deal. Cadmium. The CFCs, chromium, lead, lots of lead, especially in those older tube-style computer displays, mercury. And we're talking about 3 million tons of this stuff.
It's just ridiculous.
That's circulating out there that, unfortunately, the vast majority of that just gets thrown into the landfills. And, folks, I'm here to tell you, that's a scary list of stuff I just read off. That's going to get into our groundwater.
Yep.
Our children are going to have three eyes and two, you know.
What's that, Simpsons episode?
Yeah. Forearms.
I'll tell you what, if we keep this up, I mean, we've already seen the dumping that goes on in China and what some of the impact has been, because there's absolutely no control over what they're doing over there in some of these rural regions where they're dumping this stuff.
If you don't throw away your oil, if you don't throw away your batteries, don't throw away your electronics either.
Were you saying if you do, then you can?
No, don't.
Yeah, do not allow this stuff to get into our landfills and our trash system. Data Doctor's locations throughout the state will assist you even after today. So if you can't get out there today, don't assume that, well, you got to wait another year or what have you. Just get with the Data Doctor's location nearest you. Let them know. You know, give them a call on Monday or whatever and work it out that way. So, but the big thing is today is really the Beat the Drum Day. And there's lots and lots of people participating. Avnet, Gangplank, Telesphere, Honeywell, ITT Tech, Texas Instruments. We thank all the members of the Technology Council that are participating in today's event. We will continue to create these. The reason we chose January was all of that stuff you guys got during the holiday season replaced a lot of stuff that we're trying to get you to right now. It's only a month old.
Yeah.
It's useful to somebody.
Repurpose.
Don't wait 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's unfortunately what happens. This stuff, you don't use it from the day you unplug it. And you think, well, maybe I'll do something with it. And it just sits there, and it sits there for years. And then you finally say, okay, I'll just get rid of it.
Oh, I never used it.
And that 2 years that you just let it sit in the closet, it could have been used by a charity. It could have been used by a school. Cell phone owners, you know, there's all kinds of ways that cell phones can be repurposed just because it's not good enough for you anymore. If it makes a phone call, it's still usable. Somebody out there can use it. So
a 5-year-old computer can get online. It could type Word documents. It could do school-related stuff.
Don't even worry about that. And don't worry about it. It's broken, like we said earlier in the show. You may donate something that's got a couple of working parts and two other people have the other parts, and we can put the three of those things together and end up, you know, with a computer that's functional for the charities and the schools and things that we're working with as well. So don't assume anything. The bottom line is you got to do something with this stuff. You cannot throw it away. You have to find a recycling program of some sort. Here we are. What are you waiting for?
Exactly.
Yep.
DataDoctors.com/radio. While you're there, you can also see our link to our advice column on how to securely delete data if you want to make sure that you're taking control of your own destiny in hard drives, what you can do to make sure that stuff is securely erased. If you're not comfortable doing it, the only location that we can assure you that it will get done is our labs in Tempe, 2082 East University in Tempe. Go there, tell them you want this to be securely erased, and that location only is the only one that you can do that. And we can ensure that it does get securely erased. So check that out as well. By the way, if you have a smartphone, folks, that thing is a computer. It has data. It has your contact information. It has your kids' pictures. It has who knows what you've put in there. Reset that bad boy before you donate it, before you sell it, before you give it away.
Or if you're uncomfortable doing that, we can also securely erase the data off those devices as well.
Again, we just need to be known. If you have any data on any device, I don't care what it is, you go to our Tempe Labs, 2082 East University. Let them know that you want this securely erased. We'll take care of it for you. Just please participate in this. We've got another half an hour to go. We've got lots more to talk about. Where am I at on this? I'm going to do the math on this. Oh, I got 10 seconds. Ken, Robert, and Clayton here to talk more about technology and tech recycling. Stay tuned. So you think your password is keeping people out of your account, do you?
Oh, don't tell me it doesn't.
It might.
Well, it depends on what you're using for a password. There was a recent breach of a web server, a website called RockYou. It's a advertising system for social media. 32 million accounts were compromised.
Oh, wow.
Breached.
Only 32 million.
32 million. So as a result of that, the information was freely available. So some researchers kind of started looking at, well, what were the most common passwords? Since we have 32 million passwords out there, let's make something good come out of this. Let's learn something from this.
Let me guess. Password.
Nope.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Of the 32 million users, 290,731 of them had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 as their password.
Oh,
no,
I was so close.
You missed one.
The next most common, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then after that, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Then number four was, a distant fourth was password. Another common thing is they use the website. The name of the website is the password.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, geez.
Right? So it was Rock You. So Rock You was the website. ABC123. Folks, these passwords are broken so easily by folks that want to access accounts through what's called a brute force attack. Basically, it just starts jamming every possible known combination that's obvious. Every word in the English dictionary is a dictionary attack. So when you make it easy for somebody to hack your account, they will. Because this stuff is, you know, I mean, everything's connected anymore if it's on the internet. So you have a responsibility to yourself to be smart about your passwords. Now, here is the challenge. A really, really difficult password to break is also really difficult for our human minds to remember.
Yes.
That's true.
I've run into that same problem.
Here's a couple of tips for all of you out there when it comes to this situation so that you don't expose yourself because you don't want to have to remember a complicated password. Choose a word that you will remember. Okay? There's a couple of ways you can work with that word. One is spell it backwards, which causes you to have to, like, think. Okay? The most powerful passwords are, you know, 8 or more characters and a combination of letters and numbers. You do all alpha or all numeric, those are the easiest passwords to break. The minute you introduce a number and a letter together, you have exponentially increased the time that it would take for somebody to work through all these automated systems to try to break your password.
Well, and a lot of websites now are also requiring that one letter may be capitalized.
That's another way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, not all websites are case sensitive, so that's, you know, you're going to have to look to see what the website allows.
Right.
But characters like exclamation points, the pound sign, dashes, those are all things that most people don't use that will, again, not in and of itself is not going to make it secure, but a combination of things, including the word that you can remember. Now, don't ever use this word, but monkey. Monkey is a very, it's the number 14 password, and always in the top 10 in most password, for some reason, monkey, because it's 6 letters and it's easy to remember. Changing monkey from M-O-N-K-E-Y to M-0-N-K, and then a 3 for the E and a Y.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do not use this as a password, because guess what? Everyone that's out there trying to break passwords already knows that people are already
replacing numbers with.
This has been used as an example so many times, so don't ever use that as your password.
But finding that word that you can remember, replacing the letters that, you know, correlate to numbers like 0 for 0 and
stay away from real words if you can, because if they realize that you're trying to do a real word, I mean, so use, you know,
use
some
pig Latin.
Maybe some cutesy name that you made up for somebody a while back or whatever, and then start interjecting these other characters in it. Try to make it so that you can. Now, the other option you have is to get a program, and there are a plethora of programs out there that basically you have to remember one password, and that's the password to get into the password program. And then the password program automatically generates very, very difficult to break passwords for each of your websites. So all you have to do is remember that. Now, there's pros and cons to that, because if you don't have the program with you and you're out and about and you need to get to something, you have no idea how to get to it. So you're going to have a program that follows you, right? So you're going to have a password program that's actually in the cloud, if you will, that's out there anywhere on the internet you can access your stuff. Now, the flip side of that, people go, wait, does that mean all my passwords are somewhere on the internet? On a cloud-based system, that would be the case. There are other programs where you can actually keep it on your keychain on a flash drive.
Mm-hmm.
So you can plug that in and then run off of that. So we're going to be doing a very extensive password-focused show coming up here shortly, you know, very, very soon, because of all of this information that's come out. So We'll compile a list of resources and write some advice columns and what have you on it, so that we can really kind of inform you. But for today, if you've got a really weak password, especially
change
for your online accounts,
yeah,
make the change. Add some numbers. Add an exclamation point. Add a pound sign. Add another word to the end of the word you're going to remember, or make it backwards or whatever. And those of you using your PIN number, your Social Security number,
stay away
from
that.
That's double doo-doo. That's really bad, because not only I mean, because if they can identify it as something like that, or a lot of people will just assume, okay, if it's four numbers, it's probably a PIN number, or the last four of your social, or what have you. These guys are clever, and it's because they want to get at your stuff and they want your money. Don't make it easy for them to do. Don't be one of those 290,000 whatever that used 123456.
And I had no idea about that before I made that guess, so that just goes to show.
Jeez, you don't even have to be an expert.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is while we're on the security issue, if you've paid any attention to the tech media, the tech world, you know that that Google was compromised.
Yes.
By the Chinese. Yes. They're saying it's the Chinese government, and primarily the way that they got in was through a hole that was discovered in the Internet Explorer browser. So in other words, people inside the depths of Google's corporate infrastructure that were using these browsers at the time of the attack, they were able to get into Google's data system through the browser, through Internet Explorer. Now, Microsoft has patched the hole since it was discovered. And again, if you have Internet Explorer, they just released the patch, I think, 2 or 3 days ago. But if you're a Facebook fan, if you're following us on Twitter, you would have gotten it as soon as it came out, because that's the kind of stuff we do all week long between the show, between the newsletters. Is if you want up to the minute updates and warnings and when to update things, facebook.com/datadoctors. That's our early warning page. That's where we're going to post all the information we believe you should have between shows,
all through the week,
anytime we see that. So there's a lot of information. A lot of people back there going, well, you know, Internet Explorer, if you don't use it, then you're going to be more secure. Well, there's a couple problems with that. One is Internet Explorer is required by a lot of financial institutions. It's the only browser you can use for certain websites. Mm-hmm. So just ignoring the problem or saying, well, I'll just use something else, doesn't really help folks that are in that situation. So you got to keep up to speed on patches and what to do. And one of the other links that I had this week was how to use Internet Explorer safely, how to change the settings in Internet Explorer to maximize the possibility of keeping the bad guys out. Now, Firefox is one of our favorite browsers, has been. It's faster. It was the first one to come out with tab browsing. It's got a really cool set of tools and plugins. Unfortunately, as a result of Firefox's popularity, it now actually, from the last statistics I saw, is actually more attacked than Internet Explorer is right now, just because it's so popular and so many people are migrating to it. So just by switching to Firefox. Now, a lot of people would argue Firefox is still a better choice because the community is policing Firefox and helping to exploit or expose these issues and fill the gaps and patches. So there's a notion of security through obscurity. So if it's obscure, it's got the potential of being more secure because it's less known or targeted. Okay. Yeah. Security by obscurity is really an old concept that had to do with, you know, if people don't know about something, then it's secure just by the fact that it's not known. This is a little different. It's kind of being repurposed, this security by obscurity. A lot of people point at the Mac operating system as an example of security by obscurity.
I was just going to raise that as a...
There was a time when it was extremely obscure. It's now gaining market share. Worldwide, I think it's at 5%. In the U.S., I believe it's at 10%. At some point, it's not going to be... I mean, it's really not obscure anymore. So, to a certain extent, that may or may not hold true with this. But when it comes to browsers, you've got Internet Explorer and Firefox, the two most attacked. Well, Google came out with their Chrome browser, yep, which right at this moment, while you're listening to this, is less targeted than the other two because fewer people are using it. Same thing with Apple's Safari browser. You can use that on a Windows machine, and it is less targeted than Internet Explorer and Firefox. Now, same thing with Opera, which is actually based on Microsoft's Internet Explorer, but is a completely different set of tools on it. Some of the things I've seen out there is that Opera is actually the most secure.
Yeah,
one of the most secure browsers.
I've read some of the things.
So there's a couple of reasons why we want to talk about this today. One is so that you can secure yourself and use some of these alternate browsers to be more secure as you just do your general surfing. But more importantly, having multiple browsers has many benefits, including...
Yep.
From a diagnostic purpose, we've said this before, it doesn't matter which two you have, but as long as you have at least two browsers, the next time you're having an issue with a website, with your internet connection, with downloading something, with viewing something...
Open up that other browser.
Exactly. That gives you that option to flip over, because that quickly allows you to figure out, is it my internet connection? Because if both browsers are doing it, then it's not the browsers. It's something else. Mm-hmm. But if one works and the other one doesn't, then you know it's something to do with that browser. It's a quick way to figure out where that problem might be. So take a look at that. It's in our newsletter this week, the Security by Obscurity link. Again, if you're not a subscriber, datadoctors.com/help is where you can subscribe, and you can also see the newsletter archives there on the right-hand side. A little bit more time to go here. It's the Tech Recycling episode of the Computer Corner. It's Ken Clayton and Robert back right after this. Personal computers, laptops, computer monitors, flat panels, old modems, old switches, old routers, old power supplies, tapes, circuit boards, power cords, printers, scanners, digital cameras, cell phones, mice, keyboards, floppy drives, all that stuff that's sitting in your closet in your garage. Get it out of there. It's Tech Recycle Day. You got a couple hours left.
I know everybody's got a bag of power cords and things that they don't even use. That's
a great example of something that's very useful by the recycling group for the charities.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, because we end up with donations that don't have the power cord.
And we get somebody that donates the power cord. It's all about piecing those things back together so that they're usable.
All y'all out there listening, your collective donations will mean something somewhere. More importantly, we keep it out of the landfills. Give our children a shot at not having to, you know, drink cadmium and lead-laced water.
All that good stuff you
talked about
earlier.
Unless you want extra arms and legs.
Right. Just the birth defects and all the stuff that comes from that kind of thing. 3 million tons in 2007.
That's ridiculous. 86%
of it ended up in the landfills. That's you, folks. That's you. Every one of you out there listening, you know you've done it in the past. Today's the wake-up call. Don't ever do it again. We're going to continue to have these recycling events as often as we can. We're working with the Arizona Technology Council, West Tech Recyclers. We've been doing this for almost 10 years. We're finally getting some traction from this, and we appreciate everybody that is paying attention and helping to try to keep this stuff out. And if you're listening outside of Arizona, take this as a reason to go out and explore and find a recycling program in your neighborhood, and there's lots and lots of resources out there. And if you can't find one, shoot us an email. Log into our radio show page and say, hey, I'm in such and such. Can you help me find somebody? We'll do the best we can to help you out. But please, spread the word. Wake the neighbors. Kick the dog. Do whatever you have to. Let's get this stuff
absolutely
donated. By the way, let me run down the list of resources. datadoctors.com/radio. That's where all of today's links are. So if you want the information on where you can drop this stuff off, what you can drop off, that's that first link, the what you can do to securely erase the data from any data devices, smartphones, that kind of thing. That's all on the resources this week. Again, if you don't feel comfortable getting sensitive information off of a technology device, we are offering at our Tempe location only. That's 2082 East University in Tempe. It's our corporate headquarters. It's where our forensics and data recovery labs are. We have the manpower and the systems to securely erase. Right? It's a Department of Defense, right?
Might I add to that, if you are on Twitter and you have any questions concerning data wiping or making sure that that data is securely erased off that hard drive?
What's your handle?
Twitter.com/DataRecoveryPro.
See, Data Recovery Pro, just remember that.
Nice.
Nice and easy to remember.
If you want to keep up with what we learn as we learn it during the week, we are using our Facebook fan page. We've got 1,250 people signed up for now, so that whenever we see something we believe our listeners, our viewers, our readers should know about, that's where we post it. You know, we have a little bit of fun, and we also announce events and those kinds of things, but for the most part, that's our early warning system. So if you like what you heard on the radio show and you're a Facebook user, become a fan of the Facebook page for Data Doctors. It's just facebook.com/datadoctors. You can sign up for our newsletter so that you'll get a lot of this information in your inbox every week, 52 weeks a year. We create this newsletter. Have for, I can't even remember how many
for
years.
For as long as I can remember.
I can't remember.
Probably before I was born.
We've been fortunate enough to be doing radio on and off since 1992, 93 with KTAR. We've been providing local newspapers and media with advice columns for about 10 years. We started doing some segments with CNN.com about 3 years ago. We really love sharing our knowledge about technology. We're trying to find every way that we can to help you, however you like to absorb your information. Then obviously we get together on Saturdays here and kind of review things and talk about things. And if you're new to the show, welcome. Thanks. And if you're an old timer, thanks just as well. We appreciate all the support. And, you know, we've really had a lot of fun, and we'll continue to have fun every Saturday here.
It's got to be a good feeling to hear something on the radio, and then next thing you know, you see it actually happen. You're like, ah, Data Doctors talked about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing that we try to do is figure out how can we, you know, how can we help the most number of people out there listening? And so your input, especially like on our Facebook page, you know, I get raked over the coals every week because I always have a grammar or punctuation or spelling error or something on the newsletter. So I had a little fun with it this week on the Facebook page and said, okay, let's make this like a Where's Waldo.
Right? Yeah.
Go ahead, guys. Start tearing me up. Tell me what mistake
I made.
We
had more discussion, more feedback from that than...
I left one error in there just to see. It was the only error that I saw. Of course, everybody else is pointing out all the other
right.
errors. But you know what? You want to tear me up on my newsletter? Go ahead. Bring it on.
There you go.
Datadoctors.com/help is where all of our free help is, including the newsletter archives and a place for you to subscribe to that newsletter. Facebook.com/datadoctors for you Facebook users. My Twitter account is thedatadoc, so twitter.com/thedatadoc if you want to follow me during the week. And of course, you can listen to archives of this radio show going back almost 10 years.
Wow.
On our website as well, datadoctors.com/radio. So if you're seeking information about tech, you've come to the right place. We really appreciate everybody that that helped out. Remember, Tech Recycle Day, aztechrecycle.org if you want to know all the information about where you can take stuff. The Data Doctors location until we close today absolutely will help you out there. So for now, we'll see you all next week.
Signing off.